I recently came back this week from a retreat held for high school students at my high school. And it's and each of these retreats have taken on a kind of a different flavor. But I noticed this time a significant number of teens express feelings of being unloved, overlooked, or not valued by some important people in their life who in theory should be the closest to them, right? Such as their parents, siblings, other family members, or friends. And so broken relationships, hurt from others, or even their own bad choices may have caused them to doubt, why would God even choose to love them if these other people in their life wouldn't? But I would remind them of something I tell during my teaching masses. I said, every time we make the sign of the cross, it not only expresses our belief in the Trinity, but it also shows us that God in his greatest act and sign of his. So whenever we feel unloved, unwanted, lonely, not beautiful enough, not intelligent enough, not athletic enough, making the sign of the cross recalls the fact that Jesus considered us worthy to sacrifice his life on the cross for you and me, so that we may be called beloved sons and daughters of the Most High. In fact, it is this cross that comes into a prominent focus on today's feast of Christ the King. And it's an odd pick of the gospel because, you know, you would think, where is Jesus walking on water? Where is he raising Lazarus from the dead? Where is he multiplying the loaves and the fish? Wouldn't those scenes be more appropriate to show his role as King of the universe in all his might, glory, and power? No. Jesus chooses the cross. Because in the cross, Jesus gives an answer to anyone who feels like a useless failure. He's not surrounded by clouds of angels or glory, but instead is surrounded by jeering crowds making fun of him. And in all apparent senses, it looks like on the surface level that Jesus was a failure, unwanted and unaccepted. But he doesn't say, you know what, I'm already done, I'm going to expire. No, he experiences 3 hours soul. One that is overlooked, forgotten, or thinks it's beyond redemption or mercy. That's the essence of Jesus' kingdom. He doesn't reign from a throne of power, but reigns from the cross, his throne of mercy. Some years ago, there was a relatively young priest who was making his rounds in the hospital, visiting sick parishioners in Poland. And as he was about to leave, he was stopped by a nun who said, "Father, could you please go into this hospital room? There's a man who's on his deathbed that's been here for days but chases everyone away. We've asked many priests, but to no avail. He doesn't want to talk about Jesus, so can you please, please try?" So the priest is like, "Who am I to say no to this nun, right? Like, you guys have met nuns before. You don't ever say no to them." So the priest, like, enters, tries to introduce himself, but before he could even finish, this guy erupts and just spews out pure hatred. And so he says, "Get out. I don't want you here." And so the priest was like, "Okay, this is, you know, this has happened to me before." So he gets up and leaves, and he's met once again in the hallway by the nun who just sent him in. And so all she has to do is just say, "Go back in. Try again." So the priest enters the second time, but this time he says, "Do you mind if I just sit here and pray?" "So suit yourself," the man says. So the priest begins to pray a card that he just got recently, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And there's a part in the chaplet that says, "For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world." Suddenly, on his third or fourth repetition, the man shouts, "Stop it!" So the priest says, "Why?" And then he says, "I don't want to talk to you. Get out again." And he goes, "No, why? Why did you ask me to stop?" And then the guy says, "Because there's no mercy for me." "Why do you think there's no mercy for you?" the priest asks. And then the man, in tears, recounted that 25 years ago, he was working on a railroad station, And so his job was to lower the railroad arm, crossing arm, to prevent cars from going on the track. And one night, he came to the job site drunk. So that night, he didn't lower the crossing guard arm, and a mom and dad were driving on the tracks with three kids when an oncoming train came, and they were all instantly killed. And he said, "That was my fault. I can't ever get those lives back. There's no mercy for me." So the priest sat there looking at his hands, looking down at his rosary that he was praying the chaplet, and asked, "Where did this happen?" So the man told him the Polish town where this has happened. And so the priest said, "Well, 25 years ago, my mom and dad were taking my little siblings on a trip that I couldn't go with them. As they were driving through a small town, for some reason, the crossing arm was not across on the train tracks. So as they were crossing the tracks, a train came and killed my mom, dad that night." He looks at the man, this priest, and says, "My brother, God forgives you. And not only that, I forgive you." The priest asks if he could hear his confession, give him the Eucharist and last rites, and then 2 days later, this man dies. The interesting thing about this story was the priest goes into the hall and says, "Where's that nun?" He asks the administration, since he couldn't find her, and they tell him, "We don't actually employ nuns at this hospital." So for some time later, he still didn't know who she was, but he goes into the small town of Pradenik, and I don't know, I probably butchered that Polish town's name, and goes into a convent to say mass for the nuns there. And he sees this, calling the mother superior, he says, "I met this nun in the hospital a couple of years ago." And the mother told him, "That's impossible, because that painting is a painting of Saint Faustina, who died in 1938. You see, mercy wins. Failure is not final in God's kingdom, and Christ's kingship is exercised not in power, but in forgiveness. Each of us is created by God is not a nameless face in the mass of humanity. Each of us is willed and loved by our Creator, and He knows each of us by name. And even when we feel overlooked, Jesus reminds us that none of us are abandoned by Him. And the first reading speaks to this fact. Here is King David, who was a youth, who was overlooked by his father. And he instead, his father presented the prophet Samuel with all his other sons, who he felt were more qualified, possessed gifts and talents to become king. But who did God choose? The one that was overlooked, the one who was forgotten, the one who others thought didn't amount to much. So to say, "Jesus is king today," is not to refer to Kanye's new album, but it means, right, to have Jesus reign, to make him first in your life. Take on the same look and the gaze that Jesus has for the repentant thief and for each one of us. We will then be able to see in each person the image and likeness of God, even those who have hurt us really badly and we have a hard time forgiving. We will remember everyone matters, no matter how small, the unborn, no matter where they come from, and no matter their past. And then we will truly be able to usher God's kingdom here on earth, starting first with our own hearts, a kingdom not of power and might, but a kingdom of self-sacrificial love and forgiveness.